thanks for the opportunity to point you to the greatest book in the world. And I found Jeff's lesson last Sunday afternoon very challenging. It was on singing. And so I want to continue that theme in a moment this afternoon. And I told Brian this morning, and I meant it as a compliment, I thought he hit a home run. The main thought, though, was, for all of us, the Lord will provide. Let me ask you some questions. Why are we emphasizing singing this afternoon? Do we have something really to sing about as Christians or children of God? Have we really restored what the book has to say about singing? So, this afternoon, I'm going to let that be the authority. My watch, about 5 minutes slower than out there, but we'll let that be the authority. I just want to share with you two verses of Scripture. One from the Old, one from the New. So, if you have your Bible, let's turn to the book of Isaiah. He was a great man of God. He was a great prophet of God. And I have no difficulty saying he was the messianic prophet, because he had so much to say about the coming of the Messiah, the Christ, the anointed of God, or Jesus. So in chapter 48, the last verses really caught my attention. We'll begin at verse 20, and we'll read through verse 22. This was one of the major Bible events. God had predicted his people would go into captivity, Babylonian captivity. But he also predicted they're going to go back home. So, go forth from Babylon. Flee from the Chaldeans with a voice of singing. It's not going to happen. But what if the Russians had conquered the United States of America? And you had to leave North Carolina because you're a captive. And then you could come back to North Carolina. You'd have something to sing about, wouldn't you? With a voice of singing, declare, proclaim this, utter it to the end of the earth. Say, the Lord has redeemed his servant Jacob. And they did not thirst when he led them through the deserts. He caused the waters to flow from the rock for them. He also split the rock, and the waters gushed out. And I really thought a lot about the next verse. There is no peace, says the Lord, for the wicked. No peace for the wicked of the United States of America. With the opposite, peace for the righteous in the United States of America. So, that Old Testament verse somehow gripped my attention. So, let turn now to the New Testament, to one of the passages that Jeff had last Sunday evening, the book of Hebrews, the last chapter, number 13, and verse 15. Therefore, by Him, that is by Jesus Christ. What's the rest of Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15 suggest? Let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Now, when I was growing up, the thought was, and I understood what they were saying, there are no sacrifices. Of course, they were thinking about the Old Testament. No animal sacrifices. But there are some sacrifices in the New Testament. What Christians are to offer. And I just read one of them. Sacrifice of praise. Could that include singing? One elder asked me, are all the avenues of worship in one passage? Well, all of the plan of salvation is not in one passage, is it? So, we wouldn't be surprised when we then all the activities of worship are not in one verse. Give you something to think about, though. I believe all five are in Acts 2. And Brian, you did a good job this morning. Apostles are teaching. There's fellowship. That could include giving, not exclusively. Breaking of bread, Lord's Supper, prayers, and then I'm going to assume you know how Acts 2 closes. They're praising God. Would that include one way of singing? So I find all five in Acts 2. So think about that. I view we're offering a sacrifice of praise this afternoon. I know good singing when we have. Sad thing is, though, I can't teach good singing. But I knew what good singing was like in Michigan. I knew what good singing was like on the Lipscomb campus. And when I've been privileged to hold a meeting and the head of guest song leader, my thought was, had good singing, sometimes you might have good preaching. Let me also share something else with you. Think about it. If singing is important, if this sacrifice of praise is important, which I would say it is, then our buildings should be constructed to enhance the sacrifice of praise. I still don't know what the answer is. Some of our buildings have it, some don't. But if singing is really important, then our buildings should emphasize that. The acoustics are for good singing, excellent singing. So think about that. Now, I'm fully aware that sometimes we're a little short of money. But if singing is really important, the sacrifice of praise is really important. Shouldn't we be able to enhance and emphasize that? So, what Isaiah said in the Old Testament, what about the people of God in singing in the Old? And then in Hebrews 13, in the New, under Jesus, who is greater, superior, better. Anyone you want to mention, Christ is greater, better, superior. And so you might want to go through the book of Hebrews, beginning with angels, and then down the rest of the list. Let's take our hymn books. Let me read the invitation song, a hymn of encouragement. And I couldn't help but think all of the great themes in our songs this afternoon. I'm still moved by it. Jesus loves me. Now, you have a decision to make. No doubt about it, He loves you. But do you love Him? And our song is, you need to trust and obey. Let me read 858. Hark, the gentle voice. Hark, the gentle voice of Jesus. Fall tenderly upon your ear. Sweet his cry of love and pity. Turn and listen. Stay and hear. Take his yoke. For he is meek and lowly. Bear his burden, to him turn. He who calleth is the master holy. He will teach if you will learn. Then his loving, tender voice obey. Bear his yoke, his burden take. Find the yoke his hand is on you laid, light and easy for his sake. And I like the refrain or the chorus, particularly based on what Jesus said in Matthew 11. Ye that labor and are heavy laden, lean upon your dear Lord's breast. Ye that labor and are heavy laden, come, and I will give you rest. I grew up in Detroit, Michigan. Canada was just across the river. Now you have to have a passport. When I was growing up, you didn't have to, but we. Anyone visited us, we'd go maybe on the bridge, come back through the tub. I've been to Mexico from Texas and Arizona. Incidentally, no wonder they want to come to the United States. I don't blame them. I've been to the Ukraine and Panama. I never will forget. Went to Ukraine, one of the suggestions was, don't take any pictures. What you live in or what you drive. Because they would think we were rich. point is, though, I wouldn't trade the United States of America for Canada, Mexico, Ukraine, Panama. But the United States of America is nothing compared to what God will provide. That's our invitation this afternoon. You need to come to God, the one that will provide. You need to come to the Savior, the one that loves you so He died for you. Maybe the application is for us. We responded to the God who provides. We responded to the Savior who loves us. But do we need to come back home? So, that would be part of our invitation this afternoon. Are you ready to meet God? Are you prepared to meet God? Am I? I'll share with you later. But I'm impressed with the thought God laughs. Can you picture the God that provides? He can laugh. And my thought was, who's going to have the last laugh? It's going to be God or the citizens of our great nation? I believe, according to the book, God's going to have the last laugh. He's going to determine whether you're righteous or wicked. Would you